Let us pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word, which is alive and powerful. We thank you that you speak to us, and we pray that we'll hear you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, is it all right to be rich in God's kingdom? Well, I think the short answer to that is yes, but it's not so easy. It's not riches as such that Jesus condemns. It's the love of money at the expense of love for God or justice for the poor or fair play for all. That's the problem. According to the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Paul had seen it cause people to wander from the truth and to wreak havoc in a person's life. How generous we are is often an indication of how generous we perceive God to be. If we believe God to be kind-hearted and like a generous father, then we're likely to have a loose hold on money, so that when a need arises, we might be willing to part with it in order to benefit someone else. Whereas if our view of God is of a distant being who has left us to get on with it and survive as best we can, then we're more likely to hold money tightly and be less willing to part with it. Being rich is no guarantee that people will be happy. The actor Jim Carrey famously said he wished everybody could get rich so that they could see that that wasn't the answer. Perhaps the rich man who ran to Jesus was looking for happiness. The fact that he ran might tell us that he was desperate. Or maybe it tells us that he was procrastinating until the last minute before his conscience finally got the better of him and he made a last minute dash to see Jesus before he moved on to Jerusalem, where his death lay ahead. Whatever the reason, the rich man began the encounter running and ended it by walking away in sadness, his face to the ground, weighed down by the burden of many possessions. Did he ever change? We're left to wonder. We'd like to think so. But Jesus is realistic. It's hard for rich people to get into the kingdom of God. It sounds like the rich man was at least trying to live a life that demanded some respect from others. According to Willie Barclay, this story about the rich man shows us clearly that respectability is not enough. Jesus had quoted the commandments which were the basis of the decent, respectable life. And without hesitation, the rich man said he'd kept them all. But Barclay draws our attention to the fact that the commandments that Jesus quoted were all negative with the exception of one, which operated only in the family circle: honour your mother and father. In effect, the man was saying, I never in my life did anyone any harm. That was perfectly true, but as Barclay puts it, surely the real question was, what good have you done, people? What good have you done with all your possessions, with all that you had to give away in order to comfort or help others? As Barclay concludes, respectability on the whole consists in not doing things. Christianity consists in doing things and doing things for others. What opportunities might this rich man have missed to see God's kingdom break in around him, if only he had the generous heart to desire it? It's hard for rich people to get into the kingdom of God. When the disciples hear Jesus say this, they appear to be astounded by his upside-down politics. The disciples had grown up with a Jewish belief that people who were rich were rich because God had shown them great favour, that their faith had been rewarded, that they must have done the right things in order for God to have blessed them. It's a belief that still exists in what some might call the prosperity gospel. The disciples would have thought, well, if this rich man, who has been blessed by God so much, if even he can't enter the kingdom of God, then who can? Who in the world could possibly be saved then? Jesus' answer tells us that riches can't save us. Only God can save people. And in declaring that everything is possible with God, Jesus is opening the door to the kingdom wide. Yes, it's still like a camel passing through the eye of a needle for some, but whilst that sounds impossible, it's God's bread and butter. It's the impossible that God delights in. He does what we can't. He even changes mean hearts and looses tight fists. He reorders people's priorities. He gives people the desire to seek his kingdom and to put their resources at his disposal. The church would be nowhere if it were not for generous hearts which have been touched by divine love. The healed heart loves to give cheerfully, and so people tithe and give offerings week in and week out, and some people leave legacies which allow the kingdom to grow even after their death. The church would be nowhere if it were not for generous hearts which have been touched by divine love. It's true that growth in God's kingdom involves giving and giving up. Peter tries to convince Jesus that he and his friends have acted sacrificially since they began to follow him. "We've given up everything to follow you," he said. Jesus' answer is to acknowledge what his friends had done, but to assure them of something more. He acknowledges that they will have faced persecution because they had chosen to follow Jesus. Some families would have turned their backs on family members that chose to follow Jesus. That still happens today in parts of the world. Families can be ripped apart when a Muslim, for example, becomes a follower of Jesus. Jesus knows this happens and acknowledges it. But he says there's more to be gained. It's not that he dismisses the loss. On the contrary, he points to faith in the God for whom nothing is impossible, and to the God, the only one, who, according to Jesus, is truly good. Notice that Jesus is so humble, he refuses to be called good teacher. But he is assuring those who follow him that they are now gaining even more brothers, sisters, parents, children, a new family held together in this love of Christ, where property and possessions would be shared wherever they had need. True riches are to be discovered in this new kingdom which Christ announced. Luke in Acts chapter 4 tells us that the early church shared everything. There was no one in the church community of believers who was left in need. No one considered things to be their own possession in the way that we do now. Everything was held in common. Well, I wonder what that would look like if we were to practice that. Could we share our cars, our houses, our lawnmowers, our computers, our food, our money? Maybe we need to make a resource bank where we can make our possessions available for sharing, and where we can lend and borrow what we need and give what we save to a cause that God places in our hearts. So, Lord, if this is of you, then show us how to put it into practice. But let me finish with this last thought. The rich man assures Jesus that he has not murdered or committed adultery or stolen or lied or cheated, and he's honored his mother and his father. And it says the rich man says these things, that Jesus has this genuine love for him and looks at him and tells him there's one thing that he lacks before he'll be able to follow Jesus fully. And that one thing was that he would need to loosen his tight hold on what he owned, because holding these things tightly would hold him back. He wouldn't discover love and true happiness until he put all he owned at the disposal of the poor for the sake of Christ and the Gospels. Even although the story leaves us with the rich man walking away in sadness, I'd like to think that the love of Jesus had begun something new in his life, and that a change was coming. Jesus wanted the rich man to follow him. He wants everyone to follow him. He wants everyone to come face to face with his love and have their hearts warmed and to discover that loving God is the beginning of a healthy relationship with money, with possessions, and with people. So may God continue to melt our hearts with his love and fill us through and through with his generous riches and spirit of compassion until his kingdom comes in all its glory in Kirk Newton and East Calder and in every place. Thanks be to God. Amen. We continue to worship God, bring our tithes and our offerings, and we sing together Mission Praise 162, "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe."